Welcome back to Talking Knicks PPP Player Profile and Projections. Today, we've got a unique one. We're doing a grab bag episode with what looks to be like the end of the Knicks bench. And knowing the Knicks, a couple of these guys are probably going to get a lot of run. So let's run through it. I'm joined today by the brothers Doom and Groom. I'll start with Gregory, Sir Gregory Poon. Greg, how you doing?
Doing well, Jake. Had an eventful weekend. I saw Tracy Morgan. He's a funny guy.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, you might see him getting some burn on the Knicks this year.
That's first hot take of the podcast. We'll flip it to Big Bro, Kenny Poon. Ken, how you doing?
Doing well, Jake. Thanks for having me again. I'm always excited to be here. I just got back from my last wedding of the year, so just really hanging out now. Looking forward to just a few nice relaxing weekends.
So you didn't see Tracy Morgan?
I didn't see Tracy Morgan, sadly.
Then we don't care about your weekend at all.
Understandable.
But what we do care about is Los Knicks. As I mentioned, this will be a grab bag episodes of sorts. And it's kind of a funny thing in basketball. I mean, you're going to have 15 guys on the roster. You might have a couple guys come and go. The Knicks have a couple wild cards out there that we felt as a crew, they didn't deserve a full player profile, but they have to be talked about because these are guys that are going to get some run, including our favorite Ron Baker, who, again, I saw his only start last year in Denver because his family was there. But he's someone who needs to be mentioned because there's going to be games where Ron Baker gets some run because he's given some hustle. He's given you some defense. We'll circle back to him. I want to start, and this is probably the guy that should be the main conversation, or maybe not the main conversation, but I think there's been a recent turn, well, on Reddit lately, and amongst the Talking Knicks crew a little bit, and it's Manny Moutier. This guy was formerly a top draft pick. He was the 7th pick overall in the 2015 draft, just what, 3 years ago? He's on the Knicks now. We traded for him last year. He came over. He kind of did Manny Moutier stuff. He was like 8 points, 3 assists, 2 boards. A couple games where you see it and you're like, okay, this could be something. Then a couple other games where you're like, what are you doing, fella? So I will mix it up. I'm going to Kenny first this time. He wants the ball. He's going to get it. Kenny, talk to me about your thoughts on Manny.
Manny Moutier. So he's an interesting guy. I know he was the guy a lot of Knicks fans wanted over Porzingis that year in the draft. He went to Denver. I think he might have started the first year he was there. He played okay for a rookie point guard and then gradually lost favor. He's one of those guys that he got traded to the Knicks and he's kind of given the second chance, but he wasn't in a particularly good situation with Hornacek and 3 or 4 other point guards that he's playing against. So his stats when he got to the Knicks kind of took a step backwards. He is an interesting guy, though, because he has a lot of talent. You know, he's a very well-built point guard. He's a big point guard, and he's got some decent athleticism. He hasn't been able to put his shot together yet, but, he's shown flashes over periods of time. The first half of last year, he shot it pretty well, and then after he got traded, his shot kind of fell off a little bit. But this is a guy that's going to get his opportunities this year. And under Fizdale, Fizdale came in and said that he had he was going to fix the things that were wrong with Moutier, which is kind of a mixed message, kind of a backhanded compliment. But I think the Knicks fans have turned on him way too quickly because we haven't seen enough from him. Last year, it was a bad situation, and in the summer league, he's played bad, but, it's in the summer league. He's definitely trimmed down, so he's putting in work, and I have to believe that at some point, that's all going to come together for him. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table throughout this year.
Yeah, Jake, I'm looking at these stats, and his shooting percentages are so unbelievably bad. It's pretty wild. So, everybody obviously knows he can't really shoot. 3 But if you can't shoot the three, you better be able to finish. But he doesn't seem to be able to do that particularly well either. He's able to get to the rim. He just doesn't finish it. But in his first three seasons, his shooting percentages overall are 36.4%, 37.7%, and 38.8%. So he's getting better, but it'd be tough to get worse. But I mean, I like the guy. I got no problem being patient based on where the Knicks are at this point in time. And I'd rather see him on the court than Ron Baker. So I think he could get minutes on this team. I'm all for the guy. You like Kenny said, you see good stuff. You know there's potential there, but he really hasn't put it all together. But
yeah,
still only 21.
I liked what Kenny said when he talked about Woodson, someone that he already has his eye on him, and he's talking about things you can fix on him, which is almost like having a girlfriend and being like, yeah, I can fix some stuff about her. Like, okay, let me know how that conversation goes. But in Ken, I will send it back to you. The guy started 66 games as a 19-year-old and put up 13, 5.5, and 3.5, which, again, some bad percentages, but there's some being a young point guard. I mean, we used to play this game a lot where you dig up young stats on guys like Tyreke Evans and some other point guards who did stuff at an early age and either did or didn't pan out. But it's interesting because you think he could be a mismatch against smaller point guards and he'd have an advantage against two guards, but it seems like he doesn't have the advantage on anyone, Kenny.
So, yeah, and I don't want to spend too much time on him. I know we've got a lot of people to cycle through, but like you said, 19-year-old rookie a few years ago, and now he's only 22. And watching the games, he has athleticism, and he gets to the rim, and then he just misses the shot and tries to draw the foul but doesn't. So he's both missing the shot and not drawing the foul. If he could either finish the shot or draw the foul, then he's looking like a much better player. And also, I don't know how much it's saying given the current Knicks roster, but he might be the best passing player on the Knicks. So I have to imagine he's going to get some run there at point guard.
Yeah, that's interesting, Ken. And it will be interesting to see how all that stuff plays out because Trey Burke does seem like almost the scoring point guard. Frank is going to be the utility knife of sorts. You wonder if they try to put Manny in kind of that role, if he plays a lot of one, if he plays a lot of two. But let's move on from Manny. And I guess, you know what, let's keep it in the backcourt for now. And it's a guy that we may be yelling about deserves minutes for Moutier on some nights and a guy that we'll be saying, why is he getting minutes? And we got to talk about handsome Ron Baker. And I won't even set it up. I'll just pass it to you, Greg. What do the people need to know?
I'll pass it right back to you, Jake. No, Ron Baker, I'm not a big Ron Baker guy. His offense leaves a lot to be desired. He can't shoot either. He's like, let's see. Let's look it up together. He shot 33.9% from the field last year.
Is that good or bad?
It's bad. That's very bad. And he had that one start in Denver where you were. But that's just such an unbelievably bad shooting percentage. It's hard to say much more. I mean, he can play defense enough, but I mean, you don't really see him guarding the good players on the other team because he's not in when those players are in. So I don't know. I can't draw much. I don't really like Ron Baker. I can't get much more into it than that. But he did wish my friend Trent a happy birthday in a video message. So I'd like to hang out with Ron Baker. I just wouldn't like him on my favorite basketball team.
That's my That's pretty fair, Greg. Kenny, what do you got on Ron? I mean, is he last year 29 games played, 13.3 minutes? Again, it's spark plug kind of a little bit of passing, a little bit of driving, a little bit of defense. But is he just kind of the boys are sleepwalking tonight, throw Ron in there to shake it up or what?
Yeah, I think that's kind of his best case scenario. He's really an end of the bench guy. Knicks fans love him way too much. And this is something that we've said amongst ourselves before. It's something that my cousin once said about Shane Larkin is that I appreciate how hard he tries. I don't appreciate how much he sucks. because like Greg said, he's terrible on offense. He's a pretty good defender, but we haven't really seen him against the best offensive players on other teams. Like, we've seen Frank go head-to-head with, like, Kyrie Irving and James Harden and, like, hold his own. So you know that Frank's flashes are against, you know, star power, whereas Ron's coming in at the end of the game and guarding whoever's in at the end of the game of a blowout loss. So I, you know, I get it. He's just not that good. And if Tom were here, I know we had this conversation, he'd bring up he's now writing for the B-Ball Index. That's actually where he is tonight. He's busy writing an article for them. But we had him look into how Ron Baker grades out against all other guards in a bunch of different areas. They talk about, you know, playmaking, passing, you know, distributing, defense, a whole litany of areas. And what the stats came back as is he was an A-minus defender, and everything else was either a D or an F. So, like, he's a solid defender, but that does not make up for the other shortcomings in his game, which is every other area of the game. And it's like you said, like, if they're sleepwalking, throw him out there because he's going to try hard and maybe you'll get a spark. But as a pure basketball player, I'm just not a fan.
After a while, if everything outside of defense is a shortcoming, those aren't shortcomings. That's just you not being great at basketball. So, well, we're sorry, Ron, if you're listening. We appreciate you, but it's a crowded backcourt. And I think finishing off the backcourt and sending it back to you, Ken, because it's someone you love, and we'll make this a little happier. It's your boy, Damian Dotson. He's last year's second-round pick. He had some moments last year. He didn't get a ton of run. 44 games played, about 11 minutes per game. Kenny, tell me about your boy.
And Dame Dot is an interesting guy, and I think we're going to be able to say this about a few people here, because he's a guy that's projecting right now, based on how the preseason went, to not play a ton. But he could be a guy who, in his limited minutes, shows something, he works his way up, and he ends up being a full-time rotation piece. I know in the preseason games, he had a couple really good games, albeit he was mostly doing that in garbage time. I think in the first preseason game, he ended up scoring like 9 points in the fourth quarter in overtime, which is pretty good. Last year, he had a couple of really good games. He had a 30-point game with 11 rebounds, and he had, I think he had another double-double with like 11 and 10 or something like that. So he's shown flashes of being able to do things in this league. And the comparison that I've made throughout kind of his tenure as a Knick is I want to see him develop as a Danny Green type. As a guy who his whole role with the Knicks is to play defense and to hit threes. And if he can score a little bit outside of that, like he showed in a couple of the games, like his 30-point game, then that's a bonus. But on this team, he's not going to need to be the guy who's, you know, putting in all the buckets. In the future, they're going to have Kristaps coming back. They have Cantor right now, who's a very good offensive player. Knox looks like he's going to be a scorer. Trey Burke's a scorer. So this guy's not going to need to score. He's going to need to space the floor and play defense, and I think he can be that player.
Yeah, and Jake, I when they drafted him, I thought they were picking him as a shooter, basically. That's it. He shot 44.3% from three on 7.6 attempts in college, which is a pretty remarkable, honestly. I mean, shorter three-point line, but last year as a rookie, he didn't shoot too hot from three. It was like 32.4%, which isn't too hot. I mean, hopefully he gets better. That's on a very small sample size, only 1.5 shots per game. But I can't hate on Ron Baker for his low shooting percentages and small sample size, and then give Dame a pass. So hopefully he's got to get that up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess something I that just came through my mind a little bit is we touched on the new coaching staff a little bit, but for a lot of these guys in the backcourt, you know, with Fizdale coming in, he doesn't really care that Moutier was the seventh pick. He doesn't care what Ron Baker's been about or where he was drafted. I mean, we could throw Alonzo Trier in there. We'll circle around him later because he's a little bit too hot of a topic in Knicks land right now. But hey, if you're Damian Dotson and you can bang a corner three and play some defense, you're going to get some looks. I mean, that's – and so, Ken, I think that was a great point by you for young Dame Dot. And speaking of defense and corner threes, this is a quick one. And, again, this is – Kenny, this is your bread and butter, your birthday friend, Lance Thomas, if you'd like to explain that for the friends at home. And just tell them about Lance, because I think you're going to say all of our thoughts here.
Yeah, and like Greg said about Ron Baker wishing his friend a happy birthday, I got a birthday shout out from Lance Thomas, so he's been my favorite player ever since. But also, like, I do genuinely like his game. I think I've said in other podcasts that I picture myself as a 3-and-D guy, and Lance Thomas is that guy on the Knicks who's, you know, he's been a 40% plus 3-point shooter the last several years, and you know, he's been known as the guy who's been guarding the best wing on the other team. So, like, he'll go out there and he'll guard LeBron, he'll guard Giannis, and he'll do all the dirty work. And I think the biggest thing that he adds to this team right now is just, you know, a veteran presence. Everyone has always been saying that he's a guy who does things the right way. I know a few years ago, like, when things were kind of falling apart, I don't know if it was under Woodson or just a little bit after that, but he was injured on the bench, and, like, there were stories that, you know, people were laughing at the end of the game while they were losing, and just turned to him and was like, guys, we're losing, like, get your heads in the game. And like, that's the kind of leadership that you need on a team like this, particularly with a lot of young players and not a lot of veterans. So I'm hoping that he sticks around for a little bit. I know we've talked about him potentially being a salary cap casualty next year, but I just genuinely like what he brings to the game, both on the court, as, you know, not in a huge role, but coming off the bench, playing some defense, hitting some threes, and then the off the court stuff as far as being a leader. So appreciate you, Lance.
I always laugh because it feels like there's two games a year where Lance Thomas comes in and plays Giannis or he plays LeBron for like 35 minutes. And you're like, Lance, dude, we really appreciate you. And then they end up hitting the game winner on him. And it's like, all right, see you in 2 weeks. This is the player that I think I'm most excited about from this list, and it's Noah Vonleh. And I'm going to make a bad comparison first and then maybe a good comparison. We'll see, but let's start with the bad. There was one guy in last year's camp who didn't have a guaranteed role that I was just looking at the roster and I was like, I think this guy's going to get some run. Last year, I was unfortunately right about Jarrett Jack. It just made sense to me. They needed point guard play. Jarrett Jack's point guard play was going to be better than a 19-year-old Frenchman on most nights and Ramon Sessions. So we kind of fall into a same story with Noah Vonleh. The Knicks need bigs. And Kenny, you mentioned it previously, or depending on when these come out, when you're mentioning it now, but Noah, he looks ripped. He's a guy who came out early from Indiana, big-time prospect. It's his fourth year in the league. He's 23 years old. There's the biggest difference from the Jarrett Jack experience. But this guy found himself – he was on some really good teams in Portland where they kind of just asked their big man, whether it was a Plumlee or Ed Davis, to just kind of do their role for a couple minutes. This guy has had some big games. It's been the classic Trailblazers, the two games that don't matter, like him and Shabazz Napier try to show the world that they could be really good if they got to play. On the reverse side of that, those games don't matter. But we've got a 6'9", 250-pound, 23-year-old roped-up big man on a team that's searching for big man minutes. Greg, what do you think about Big Noah?
Yeah, I mean, Knicks just waived Joe Kim, so Noah's officially going to make the team, I believe. So
Noah to Noah.
Yeah, we picked the right one in my book. yeah, he's definitely going to get some time because, like we said, Porzingis is out. I mean, Cornette is not as good as Vonleh. You got Cantor. And then who are really the other big men? You know, you're going to move Knox and Lance up to four, play the four. So there's just two big man spots, 48 minutes to go around in each. 48 times two is 96. So somebody's got to fill those minutes. So I think Noah Vonleh is going to be a guy. And like we've seen him beast some people, do some monster dunks during the preseason. So he does what you like to see. He's an exciting player.
Ken, I know you like a big man that likes to finish around the tin, and that is what he's been doing this preseason.
Yeah, and like Greg said, there's a lot of minutes to go around. So, and I think he's going to end up getting some minutes. I think the more interesting question is the same question that we asked in the Mitchell Robinson one, and we didn't even bring up Vonleh because that was recorded kind of a while ago, and he seemed like a guy who might not even make the team. But after preseason, it looks like he's definitely going to be on the team, and he could be a guy that steals those fourth quarter minutes just because he is not as young and inexperienced as, say, a Mitchell Robinson, and he is less defensive. He has less of a defensive liability than a guy like Enes Kanter. So kind of in the same way that guys like Dame Dot could work his way into, you know, a steady rotation piece, I think a guy like Noah Vonleh, if he, you know, goes out in his minutes and shows that he deserves more, he could end up being the fourth quarter guy for the Knicks in that center role, particularly with teams going smaller. He could fill that, you know, that center role for the fourth quarter Knicks.
And yeah, we're talking a lot of high end, low end type deals with this. Again, someone like Ron Baker might play 10 games this year. He could play 70. Vonleh, yeah, I mean, talk about an opportunity in the coaching stuff I mentioned earlier. If you've got Fizdale coming in, you've got Kanter, who couldn't be played in the fourth quarter last year, his defense is so bad, then a bunch of young guys. If you're Vonleh, this is your chance to make it in the NBA. You've got some really good, I mean, in 16 minutes last year per game, he averaged almost 6 rebounds.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. He averaged 12.8 rebounds per 36 minutes last season. That's pretty good.
So, and with minutes being needed on this Knicks team, you could see this guy, what, sneaking towards 25 minutes if he really finds his role and maybe doing a 8-8, which, hey, you know, it's tough being a Knicks podcast sometimes and discussing some of that stuff. But 8-8 out of Noah Vonleh would be pretty big for this team.
Yeah, so, I think another question is, you know, how he plays is in a lot of ways, I think, going to determine the way that Fizdale goes with his team. Because if he can play a lot of minutes at the four position, then guys like Mario Hezonja and, you know, Knox can play a little more at the three, and you can have a bigger rotation amongst your fours and fives. If he doesn't play that well, you know, Hazonia's got to get bumped up, and Knox is going to get bumped up to four, and they're going to go mostly with a smaller lineup. So I think he is kind of going to be a key piece in how the Knicks, you know, their style and their play unfolds over the season.
Yeah, and Ken, I think that ties into Fizdale too. I think we complained about Hornacek's rotations a little bit. Fizdale is going to be doing a lot of experimenting with all these backcourt and all these frontcourt options. So, if you're Vonleh, if you can play a little defense and roll to the basket, you got a job, bud. The last big man I think we're going to bring out, a Commodore, hashtag Vandy, Luke Kornet, the fake unicorn. Is that a nickname for him yet? He 7-1. He plays mostly with the Knicks G League team. He comes up for his first game, and what did he do? It was something ridiculous, right?
Yeah, he like blocked a bunch of shots and hit a bunch of threes.
Yeah, it was like the first player to have.
He had 11 points, 4 blocks, and 10 rebounds.
Right. So yeah, then I remember seeing Reddit posts saying, you know, the Knicks have two unicorns and stuff like that. And it's like, easy guys, but
unicorn with a K.
Unicornet. I like that.
Unicornet.
Maybe you need to talk me into this. Why am I not more excited about Luke Kornet? I mean, he ended up playing in what, 20 games last year? In those games, he got 16 minutes. He shot 35% from three. Should I be more excited about Luke Kornet?
Man, he could shoot it. He's spreading the floor, but I mean, he's just not a stereotypical big man. So I don't know if it's I don't know. It's tough. Right. You're thinking that maybe his best case scenario is Myers Leonard, and I don't think you want Myers Leonard on your team.
Yeah, and I think kind of Knicks fans have a just based on that first game where it came in hot, and I think, like you said, people were talking about it was the first time ever or something that someone had 4 blocks and 3 3 pointers in their debut. And then after that, I think he went on to average in his 20 games, you know, 0.8 blocks total among all of his games, including the 4-block game. So I think Knicks fans think that he's a better post defender than he actually is, just based on the hype behind that first game. And I think that's going to be his problem, is because he can play a perimeter big man, but what the Knicks need alongside a guy like Enes Kanter is a guy who can defend the post better. And I'm not saying that he couldn't be a valuable piece, because I think he could be a decent piece. I don't know that he's going to get more than, you know, 10 to 15 minutes run per game just to give someone a breather. But I just don't think he's kind of going to be a stable rotation piece just due to the makeup of this team.
Hey, if you could give me a 7-1 Steve Novak from that one season, we'll take that. But Steve Novak was shooting about 78% from three that one year the Knicks were doing well. That stat's not accurate, but
pretty close.
It felt like it though. Yeah. open Steve Novak.
Open 10. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he was up there, and I think that's funny that Kornet is clearly listed as a power forward, even though he's 7-1, because his body is just not up for a lot of the NBA big men.
Yeah.
Which circles back into this whole defense conversation that we've been talking about.
He had a couple good games. It looks like he had a game last year where he had 23 points, a game with 18, and a game with 17. So, like, he had a couple decent games, but I just don't know that he's ready to be a mainstay in the Knicks lineup.
And at the same time, I guess that's why I keep kind of laughing under my breath. If this guy can come in and shoot some threes and block some shots, you could see Luke Kornet getting a lot of minutes. I think we've kind of covered the grab bag pretty well. I think there's the one hot button guy everyone's been talking about. And I guess I'm talking myself down on him just because of how many bodies there are in the backcourt. But Alonzo Trier, the undrafted rookie from Arizona, he was a big prospect. Ends up going undrafted this year, which is one of those, hopefully it makes the scouts end up looking bad that everyone ended up drafting their guy instead of this guy. He's had his moments in the summer league. Ken, I'll start with you, 'cause I know you've been big on him. What do you got for me on Isozo?
And I don't know that I've been big on him in a positive way. I think that, and pretty much all these players have been just trying to down talk the Knicks overreactions for guys like Ron Baker in a positive way and Emmanuel Mudiay in a negative way. But so Trier, you know, he can score. He can definitely score. I'm just not sure what else he can do. He's a big guard, and I think that helps him because he doesn't have to, you know, try to fit into the point guard role. My problem is I just don't know how well he fits into the development of other players if he's just going to be ISO-zo and go ISO and other people are just going to stand around and watch, because he's not good enough to do that. He's a good scorer. He's not good enough to be a ball stopper and make the rest of his teammates, who are all young players in the midst of their development, and have them just watch him do what he's going to do and then run back and play defense. And I think some of the stuff with the draft, I think he had some drug test issues. I don't know if it was marijuana or performance enhancing drugs. Should probably have looked into that before the podcast, but
hopefully both.
My computer's too slow to do it now, so I'm just going to throw both of those out there as possibilities. But the guy deserves to be in the NBA. I just don't know if he deserves the hype that he is getting as, you know, a potential star. I think, and we talked about this in the offseason recap pod, but I think his best case scenario is to be a bench scorer, which I don't think is a bad thing. A lot of guys have made their careers being a very good bench scorer. I think of guys like Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams and, you know, not so much as a scorer, but Andre Iguodala has been like a sixth man extraordinaire. And those guys are very good players. And, you know, I think that having that as, you know, the goal that you're setting for yourself is a realistic goal. And I don't think it's kind of too negative to say that, although I think, you know, being a bench player doesn't necessarily excite people as much as him potentially being a star.
Yeah, so he got suspended for like a good portion of the season in college for taking a banned substance. So
Osterine. It is a performance enhancer of sorts. It's supposed to be a muscle recovery drug. But which kind of odd. And they said it was trace amounts. I don't know. It's one of those things I think you can look back and either laugh at or be like, no, shoot, Lonzo's career was doping in college. Greg, what is there going to be a game this season where we say Alonzo Trier is the go-to scorer for the Knicks?
I mean, it could happen. They said that they're going to use all 45 days of his on the two-way contract. So I don't know when exactly he's going to get called up. I think that the Knicks have their team, so they don't really need him that much. They might start needing him when if the season goes south, then they'll call him up to see what he's got. But otherwise, I mean, maybe he showed enough in the preseason to get some time right away. It's tough because last year was the first year with the two-way contracts, and the Knicks just used them so differently than some other teams, where the Knicks just didn't call anybody up until the very end of the season. So now they got a new administration, so we'll see how they do it.
Yeah, I really like that point, Greg. That could be a huge factor for another guy we didn't mention is Isaiah Hicks. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they try to use those guys on back to backs or something like that. We will see. Any parting shots before we call it on the grab bag app?
I mean, we'll just say Hicks looks skinnier, but I don't know. He probably doesn't have a long term fit on this team, but he'll be good to eat some minutes maybe at some point, like you said, maybe on the back to backs or maybe at the end of the season.
And I think the last point that I want to make is Fizdale has come out recently and said that he doesn't want anyone on this team averaging more than 28 minutes a game. He says if you're playing more than that and you're not tired, then you're probably not trying hard enough. So that's going to open up, you know, a lot of time for other players to get in. So any one of these guys could end up, you know, being that Jeremy Lin who comes off the bench and, you know, suddenly they have a big role on this team. So don't be surprised if that happens with any one of these guys.
Yeah, that's no one over 28 minutes. That's whew. That just had me have some interesting thoughts about the Knicks, but we'll pass on those for now. This was the grab bag episode. This is might be some deep track Knicks stuff for some of you people. Hopefully you like it, but yeah, a couple of these guys are going to get serious minutes. So we'll see who ends up being that guy during the season. I would say, I don't know. I'm picturing a lot of Vonley, but enough for me. Thank you for listening. If you've been listening, we appreciate you. We've been doing individual player profiles. Check them out. And if you like what you're hearing, if you can give us a 5-star rating, we'd really appreciate that. So thank you very much. Let's go, Knicks.
Knicks take.